The Gospel from Luke 23. It was now about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, when the sun's light failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Luke says that after this orgy of blood and violence and death on Golgotha, we went back home and we took a Sabbath nap. The followers of Jesus, no one ever accused of overwrought empathy. Sloth. What is it? Dozing off in the middle of a sermon, lying too long in the bath? Is such behavior worthy of moral condemnation, particularly on this, the holiest night of the Christian year? What is the sin of sloth? It's akedia, the noonday demon, described in one of the Psalms, but also by the 4th century Egyptian monks in the desert. At noon, when the sun is high, you can't even see your own shadow. These hairy monks had seen the mighty Roman Empire crumble into dust. All that classical wisdom and power and architecture and army, now what good does it do? And so they went out to the desert, and through prayer and fasting and study of the scriptures, they were going to build a new eternal empire with God. But when the sun gets high in the heavens and it's noon, the eyes glaze over from too much scripture. And stomachs growl, and somehow this great adventure in faith seems less adventuresome. The only book of the Bible to do justice to this sin, to this ennui, or as the Germans call it, Weltschmerz, the only book of the Bible to deal with it is the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes begins with a somber question. All is vanity. What do people gain from all of their striving and toil under the sun? A generation comes, a generation goes. Go write your books, build your cities, perform your good works. What good does it get you? Dust, decay, striving after wind. The monks out in the desert took their midday meal at 3 in the afternoon. At noon, sitting in your little cell, you began to get hungry. You get distracted from your prayers. Your mind wanders, led astray by the noonday demon. Many of you know that it's one thing to have a dramatic, life-changing conversion experience. It's quite another to keep that experience going over the long haul. Sloth is that gradual eating away of the soul, the extinguishing of the once bright fire. Desire dissipates, producing perhaps the worst sin of all, absence of desire. What we modern people often call doubt is probably better, most call sloth, akedia. That dissipation of faith that comes from the simple unwillingness to take the trouble to believe. The fathers of the church said that apathy, sloth, akedia, it's a kind of sadness. Isn't it ironic that on a modern university campus with so many young people so well futured and so bright and young and full of potential, at any given moment, by my unscientific estimate, about a third or a fourth are depressed. But apathy for the fathers of the church is more than even depression. Apathy is, for the fathers of the church, that sad sin that when one is confronted by the open, gracious hand of God, one turns away. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus meets a rich young man. Jesus calls him to follow him and be a disciple. But when the young man hears the requirements for discipleship, Luke says he became sad, or in the more elegant authorized version, his countenance fell, and he walked away. He did not so much reject Jesus, rather he was sorrowed that he could not move toward the God who had so graciously moved toward him. That's what the fathers meant by akedia. Aquinas says that behind sloth is a worse spiritual monster, despair. Chrysostom said, it's not sin, it's despair that leads a soul to hell. Sometimes you can see despair, and it's a frightening thing to see. I recently saw it in the eyes of a group of inner city high school students. Having the door slammed in their faces so often, they had developed the means not even to desire for the door to be opened. Sometimes akedia is a defense against an unjust world. The frozen, zombie-like stares of a Sunday congregation, and their roving eyes, and their wandering minds, distraction, restlessness of spirit. This is what the fathers called akedia. The inability to focus on what's really important. We live in an age with a surfeit of distraction, of massive attention deficit disorder. Failing to have our attention grabbed by anything of lasting value, our eyes glaze over, our minds wander restlessly, roving. Many have noted that an identifying characteristic of today's young adults is their political apathy. To be sure, some of their political apathy, their failure to get involved in politics, is due to their cynicism about the current crop of political leaders. But I think it's even deeper. It's a student's loss of faith that anything that they do can make a difference. Cynicism. The world is rotten and I know it, so I'm checking out of it. As an active participant. This is a relative of apathy. When I was a student in college, many years ago, back then they could kick you out at my college, not only for the usual student sins, plagiarism, indiscretions with the opposite sex, habitual drunkenness, but also what the administration called failure to profit from a Wofford education.
failure to profit. There were some people in my fraternity kicked out from failure to profit. And yet, even as a sophomore, I thought that's a fairly appropriate reason to kick somebody out of college. Failure to avail oneself of the gifts that have been given. Failure to trust your own God-given abilities. That's apathy. Sloth. It's a sin that enables us to walk right past a person in need with outstretched hand and not even feel a tinge of discomfort. No longer even to see that other person as a possibility to get close to God. When they were in Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples to wait, watch, pray. But as usual, the disciples didn't do it. They fell asleep. Jesus comes back and says, "You couldn't even watch with me for 1 hour." Luke says, "They fell asleep because they were in grief," which I've always thought of as an attempt to put a good face on bad disciples. But there is a kind of linkage between sorrow and sleep, between anguish and akadia, sleep in which we just withdraw from a world we don't know what to do anything about. Thomas Aquinas says, akadia is that sorrow that one is beyond God's help. It is that ability to walk past the cross of Jesus Christ and feel nothing. Sloth is the sinner who thinks his sin is so great that God is not great enough to forgive it. It is the arrogance of believing that one is so far down that one is beyond God's help or hope. The despair that the church's sacramental means of grace don't work. The suspicion that when Jesus says, "Rise, your sins are forgiven," Jesus is lying. I wonder, maybe Mel Gibson had to go to such obscene lengths so vividly to depict the suffering of Jesus, because maybe Gibson knows that we moderns are not known for our sensitivity, for our depth of feeling and engagement, maybe. A Christian is not just somebody who believes in the Apostles' Creed. And a Christian is somebody who believes that in the events of this dark night, we shall see light. Who believes that as we sit in silence, God is calling us, that in his death is our life, in his suffering is our salvation. And so there's a question tonight as we witness these events. Is it nothing to all you who pass by?